William Carey, the father of modern missions, was a shoemaker who would preach and teach afterward in a church. He heard about the need of the gospel in India and volunteered to go as a missionary. He knew it would be tough. It was a mission impossible. He went with his wife, son, and daughter in April 1793. He was faced with a mission impossible. Almost all Indians were Hindus or Buddhists. He had to adjust to a totally different lifestyle there. He had to train other missionaries while preaching the gospel to the Indians and translated the Bible into an Indian language himself. During the first few years there, he preached the gospel, but nobody believed. Then his son died. His wife had a nervous breakdown. William Carey questioned himself whether it was worthwhile to have sacrificed so much for the gospel. But God, through his word and prayers, confirmed that it was worthwhile. And if he didn't stay, the Indians would go to hell generations after generations. So William Carey stayed faithful to his wife until she died. He stayed faithful to God's calling for him despite such extremely difficult situations. When William Carey was in India, he saw women being burned alive because their husbands had died. William fought for the removal of this evil practice by helping to make this practice illegal and save many, many women's lives, and many of them became Christians. William Carey translated the Bible into different Indian languages and translated many other books during his 40 years in India. He died in India with the people God loved and with the people he loved. William Carey once said, "Expect great things from God, attempt great things for God. Expect great things from God, attempt great things for God." William Carey lived out what he believed. He expected great things from God, and he was able to attempt and do great things for God's kingdom. My dear brothers and sisters, life is so short. I'm already 36 years old, halfway through my life, if God let me live for another 36 years. It would be such a regret if we know what God wants us to do and we refuse to do it, and then when we are at the end of our life, we regret about wasting our life's time in things that don't have much value, and yet we can no longer go back. Living in regret is a terrible thing. I thought about what happened to Spider-Man in Spider-Man 1, the movie. Spider-Man had a chance to stop a robber from robbing the guy who didn't pay him the promised amount after he won a fight, but he didn't stop the robber. The result was that the robber hijacked his uncle's car and killed his uncle. He lived in regret of this since then. It was a terrible feeling. When we have the chance to do the right thing and we don't do it because we think it won't hurt, we might end up living in regret forever. Like what happened to Spider-Man. Let's expect great things from God and attempt great things for God, even missions impossible. We will see how Mary did the greatest thing for God and for all mankind because she didn't refuse God, although she had a very strong reason to do that. I will ask you questions that will help you to think through what we will study and we will learn, that will help you to understand God's word interactively. According to Luke chapter 1 verse 26 to 27, it says that during Elizabeth's 6 months of pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to a virgin who lived in Nazareth, a town in Galilee. She was engaged to marry a man named Joseph from the family of David. Her name was Mary. From these two verses, what do we see? Who was Elizabeth? Elizabeth was John the Baptist's mom, who became pregnant at an old age, in which it was impossible for her to be pregnant. She probably was already in her late 50s or in her 60s. But by God's power, she became pregnant, and John the Baptist will become a messenger of God, the greatest prophet of the Israelites, to ask people to return from their evil and accept Jesus as their savior from their evil. Where did this incident take place? These two verses mentioned Nazareth, a town in Galilee. Nazareth, 2,000 years ago, was an insignificant village of an estimated only 1,600 to 2,000 people living there. According to John chapter 1 verse 46, it says that Nazareth, can anything good come from there? Nazareth was regarded as a place lacking culture, and people spoke with rude dialect. Who are the people mentioned in the two verses? We have heard the name Elizabeth, who was John the Baptist's mom, God, who sent the angel Gabriel, and angel Gabriel was one of the chief angels of God. Virgin Mary. Virgin is a young maiden, 14 or younger, who had never had sexual relations with a man. Joseph, a descendant of David and Mary's future husband. And David, the second king of Israel. And his son is King Solomon, the wisest man history has ever seen. What happened? God sent the angel Gabriel to a virgin called Mary. What can we learn from these two verses about God? First, from God sending angels to do his work, we learn that God is always in control, and God always takes the active role, and he has the power to do all things by himself, because he created the heavens and the earth in 6 days simply by his word. But he created the angels to participate in his work, to experience the presence and power of God. What can we learn from these two verses about God? Second, from God sending such an important angel to such an insignificant girl in such an insignificant village, it's probably like one of you, little girl, going to middle school in Baton Rouge High. Nobody know about you except your friends. We learn that God also invites insignificant human beings, Virgin Mary, in an insignificant village to participate in His wonderful plan so that they too can experience the presence and power of God. God can invite each one of us to participate in His wonderful plan so that we can experience the presence and power of God. So what should we do after learning these lessons from these two verses? One thing we can do to specifically participate in God's plan this Christmas season is to tell people the real meaning of Christmas. It's not about Santa Claus, it's all about Jesus, as the angel did. And although we might seem insignificant to many people in the world, God can use us and we can experience God's power and presence if we are willing to be used by Him. Now let's look at verse 28 and verse 29. Verse 28 says, "The angel came to her and said, 'Greetings, the Lord has blessed you and is with you.' But Mary was very confused by what the angel said. Mary wondered, 'What does this mean? I don't understand it.'" First, let's look at these two verses and try to first see and then understand what's going on here. What happened here? The angel greeted Mary and Mary was confused and wondered why the angel greeted her this way. I believe Mary must also be very scared having an encounter with the supernatural, as we will see later. It is like maybe in the middle of the night, you're trying to sleep, but you're not. But you have not slept yet, you're still awake, and suddenly there is light next to your bed, and suddenly an angel appears. You probably will be scared to death if that happens to you. That's why I believe Mary also was scared. Let's think about what we can learn from these two verses. That the angel greeted Mary and Mary didn't understand what the angel meant by the greeting. Let's ask ourselves this question. Why did the angel greet Mary? The angel was showing respect to the woman God has chosen to achieve God's wonderful plan to save mankind from eternal death through Jesus, the Savior, the Messiah of mankind, from their sins punishment. Knowing that even such an important angel would treat such an insignificant woman that God has chosen with respect, what should we do? We should also show respect to people, even the most insignificant one in our eyes. For example, your schoolmate not in the gifted program, or someone not so smart or attractive. Why should we also respect them? because God might use him or her, and everyone is significant in God's eyes. Everyone is treated equal in God's eyes. God will not look at our gifts, how smart or how attractive we are. God looks at our hearts.Now we are at verse 30 to verse 33. Seeing that Mary was confused and scared, the angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary, because God is pleased with you. Listen, you will become pregnant. You will give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great.And people will call him the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of King David, his ancestor. He will rule over the people of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." What do we see here? First,What did the angel do, seeing Mary in confusion and fear? He asked Mary not to be afraid and explained that it was because God was pleased with her. And what did the angel declare? And what does it mean to Mary? That Mary would be the mother of the Messiah the Israelites had been waiting forfor since 1,000 years ago, before Mary's time, when David was king of the Israelites, and that the Messiah would be the eternal and perfect king of the eternal kingdom Israel is part of. Because King David was king from 1,000 to 962.Before Jesus Christ was born. And according to 2 Samuel chapter 7 verse 11, it says that God spoke to King David, "The Lord declares to you that the Lord himself will establish a house for you. When your days are over and you rest with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, who will come from your own body, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever.This is the time that God would fulfill his promise to his chosen people. But what does it mean? Why was God pleased with Mary? First, why was God pleased with Mary? And that's the reason for her not to be afraid. Even an angel appears. I believe it was for similar reasons God was pleased with Elizabeth, who was mentioned earlier in the same chapter in Luke chapter 1. God invited Elizabeth to participate in God's wonderful plan too, by miraculously letting her be able to give birth to John the Baptist, who would prepare for Jesus' work on earth later. And according to Luke chapter 1 verse 6, it says that both Elizabeth and her husband were upright in the sight of God. They were doing the right things in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. People could not find fault in them because they followed God wholeheartedly. How can God be pleased with us? God is pleased with us because we don't live in sin, but in God's righteous way, by observing God's commandments in the Bible wholeheartedly, the way Elizabeth did and the way Mary did, although she was still very young. What should we do about what we have learned? We should make sure that God is pleased with us by examining our heart, our thoughts, our speech, and actions every day. Confess to God if we have sinned. Ask God to help us to live our life according to His commandments. As we continue to read on, we'll see in verse 34 to verse 37, it says that Mary said to the angel, "How will this happen? I am a virgin." The angel said to Mary, "The Holy Spirit would come upon you, and the power of the Most High will cover you. The baby will be holy. He will be called the Son of God. Now listen, Elizabeth, your relative is very old, but she is also pregnant with a son. Everyone thought she could not have a baby, but she has been pregnant for 6 months. God can do everything." What do we see from these verses? First, what was Mary's reaction to the angel's message? Mary didn't understand how she, as a virgin, could have a child after her marriage to Joseph, which would take place probably 1 year later. Mary understood after this, if she indeed take this mission impossible from the angel, she'll be pregnant very soon, even before she gets married with Joseph. In Jewish culture, people who first, a man and a woman, first be engaged, and they will get married only 1 year after the engagement day. But what did the angel say? "The Holy Spirit, by God's power, will make this happen. It would not be through a man." It was a miracle, just like Elizabeth was pregnant after childbearing year. God can do everything. Or according to NIV's translation, "For nothing is impossible with God." Nothing is impossible with God. God is almighty. He can do all things, even things that we think is impossible in our eyes. What does it mean then? Why was Mary so concerned about bearing a child while she was only a virgin before her marriage to her future husband Joseph? In Jewish culture, more than 2,000 years ago, the law regarded an engaged woman who became pregnant as an adulteress. Someone who have had sexual relations outside of the marriage. And this person is subject to death by stoning, being thrown at with stones until death. That's a very cruel punishment. Mary was already engaged to Joseph, so she couldn't be married to another man. Besides, there would be an engagement period of at least 1 year, and she sensed that she would be pregnant in less than a year. but she couldn't just request to have an early marriage with Joseph in order to bear this child the angel was telling her about. Mary must be really confused about how this could happen. And what do you think Mary would be thinking about after hearing the angel's explanation that she would be pregnant not through man, but through the Holy Spirit's power? I think it would get her from confusion to shock. Because if this indeed happens, it would put her in an adulterous situation, which would result in her being stoned to death. Even if she explains that, "I'm not pregnant through not being loyal to my marriage vow or engagement vow, I'm pregnant by the power of God through the Holy Spirit," do you think there will be anybody who will actually believe in that? Nobody would hear her explanation that God gave her the baby as a virgin. People would think that she was crazy. This would be a real test of Mary's faith in God. And Mary had every reason to say no to the angel, out of concern for her own life, her reputation, and her future husband's reputation. Have you thought about why would God's son have to be born this way? The fact that Mary was a pure virgin, blameless before the Lord, made her the best person to be the human mother of God's son by the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus was a holy human being who never sinned, because he did not have the sinful nature inherited through the man, because he was not born through a man who has inherited the sinful nature. And Jesus also had the presence of God, of the Holy Spirit, with him always. So it was impossible for Jesus to have sinned. As some people who don't believe in God or in the Bible accuse that Jesus could have sinned. It's impossible, because Jesus was born through the power of the Holy Spirit from a virgin. This would ensure God's plan to save all mankind be achieved through a perfect human being and a perfect God, taking the punishment for all human beings' sins. This could only be achieved by God's Son born this way through Virgin Mary. That's why the Bible says that Jesus was born of a woman, not man. Galatians chapter 4 verse 4 says that, "But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full right of sons." Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14 says that, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and we'll call him Emmanuel," God with us. It was prophesied before Jesus, the Son of God, was born through Virgin Mary, and now it is the time of fulfillment of this promise, this prophecy that God had for his chosen people and for the whole world. What can we learn from this? We can learn from this that God is the one who accomplishes missions impossible to mankind. What seems impossible to man is possible with God. When God invites us to participate in His wonderful plan, it's often what we cannot do by our own power, which often was accomplished by huge sacrifices to test our faith in God. Let me repeat, God is the one who accomplishes missions impossible to mankind. When God invites us to participate in His wonderful plan, it's often what we cannot do by our own power, which often was accomplished by huge sacrifices to test our faith in God. Under such circumstances, we would see our powerlessness, that we cannot accomplish it by our own power, then we will kneel down and rely on God's power. Then we will experience the presence and power of God, which would help us develop closer relationships with God, to help us become stronger in faith and holy, what God wants us to be. What should we do learning about this truth? Realizing that God can do everything, for nothing is impossible with God, helps us to trust God even in the most difficult situations in life. Knowing the nature of God's work and plan, which cannot be accomplished by human means, we should completely submit to God for help. Knowing how God wants to make us stronger in faith, closer to Him, and holy through participating in His missions impossible, we should not refuse to serve God because we feel we are inadequate, we cannot do it, or the sacrifice is too huge. God would help us. That's what we will see in Mary. According to verse 38, Mary said, "I am the servant girl of the Lord. Let this happen to me as you say." Then the angel went away. What was Mary's reaction to the angel's explanation how she would become the mom of the Messiah, the Savior of mankind? She said, "I am the servant girl of the Lord. Let this happen to me as you say." She simply trusted and obeyed God. A servant of the Lord, mightily used by the Lord, learned the key to becoming a Christian who experienced God's power in his life. And when he was a child, he had a conversation with his granddad. His granddad was a pastor, and he told him this, that he would never forget, and that helped him through the most difficult situations in life and in serving God, and helping him to accomplish many missions impossible for God. Here's what the granddad said. When God asks you to run through a thick wall, if you are sure it's God who asks you to do it, run towards it with no hesitation. And when you get to the wall, God will make a hole on the wall for you. When God asks you to run through a thick wall, if you are sure it's God who asks you to do it, run towards it with no hesitation, and when you get to the wall, God will make a hole on the wall for you. Trust and obey. This is the only way through which we can experience God after we found out God's will for us, on our knees, through prayers and an intimate relationship we have with God. God would reveal to us His will and plan for our life. And then what we need to do is simply to trust and obey, and then we will experience God's power and presence to accomplish missions impossible. This reflects Mary's life and William Carey, the father of modern missions, life, and why they could be mightily used by God to bring the Savior of all mankind to this world and to the people in India. Let's pray and ask God to help us to also be able to accomplish missions impossible for God. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for helping us to understand more about the incident that happened before Christmas, before Jesus was born. You, through the chief angel, Angel Gabriel, gave Mary a mission impossible. Mary had all the reasons to say no, and yet, because she trusted God and she obeyed God, she was able to accomplish the greatest mission impossible for all mankind. For it's through the Son born through her, the Son of God, that every single person in the world has a chance to be saved by what Jesus did on the cross for all mankind's sins, so that man don't need to be punished for their own sins, but have eternal life with God. Lord, during this Christmas season, let us learn first from the angel's example to share the good news with other people, and let us also be willing to trust and obey God in all circumstances in our life, even if it seems impossible to us. But we know it's possible with God, and if we are sure that it's God's will, by asking for God for the will He has for our life through prayers and close and intimate relationship with our Almighty God, then we simply trust and obey, and let us all be able to be mightily used by God, to expect great things from God, and to be willing to attempt great things for God. Our prayer is in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.